Another little known person in the Bible, her name is Abigail, and Abigail is kind of interesting. You know, I believe all of us in this room today, whether we are male or female, can take a lesson from a woman by the name of Abigail. We did not know much about her prior to the time period of the Bible. However, what the Bible talks about her is very important in her life, we could use in our own daily lives. As the story opens in chapter 25, we see David sending 10 of his servants to a man by the name of Nabal. The word name Nabal means fool. David had sometime earlier, nobody knows exactly when, but it could have been within the recent years when he was younger or just in the last couple years that Nabal and him were together shearing sheep. Now, as we recall, David was a what? What was his occupation? He was a shepherd. And so he knew everything there was to know about sheep, how to shear them, and how to care for them. But David had sent his servants to Nabal to see if they could get some food from him for the journey that they were taking through the wilderness. Now, this all takes place at about 1055 B.C. His residence, Nabal's residence, was in southern Carmel in the pasture lands of Maon. His wealth, as might be expected from his abode, was considerably a lot. He had quite a bit of money. He had over 3,000 sheep, over 1,000 goats, and it was in the custom of shepherds to drive the sheep into the wild downs in the slopes of Carmel, and there was also a lot of food for them to eat there. And so many times what happens is the outlaws would come and try to take the sheep away. There was always bandits and things like that that tried to remove the sheep from their owners, and they needed protection day and night in order to take and keep the sheep safe. Now, David and his men had been there to help Nabal take care of his sheep and to protect his servants and protect the sheep from any bandits. Now, when the servants came to Nabal, they were treated very badly, and Nabal made light of the fact that David was even known by him. And David's servants went back to David and told him everything that had happened to them. And David became very angry, and he took 400 of his strongest men and armed them with swords and spears and shields, and they were going to go and they were going to take care of Nabal and his family. They were going to utterly destroy them. David was very upset about it, and he said, if after all we did for him, he's going to treat us this way, then he doesn't deserve to live, and we'll just take everything that he has. But one of Nabal's servants, who had been shearing sheep when David was there protecting them, went to Nabal's wife, who was Abigail, and told her what Nabal had done, and by not only acknowledging David, but, you know, I believe that the servant was fearing for his life, because he knew that David was a very strong man. He knew that David had a lot of men that were with him. He knew that David was a warrior, and he knew that Nabal's servants were no battle for David whatsoever. And I think that he was going to Abigail for fear of his life. I think he thought, you know what, I'm going to die, and I might as well go and I might as well talk to Nabal's wife and see if there's anything that she could possibly do to take and render the situation. Now, this is where we're going to start the lesson today. And so we kind of have a little bit of a introduction there as to what has been happening. But I want to look at Abigail today, and I want to look at her character, and I want to look at some of the things about her, because she's a very, very interesting woman. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that as we get into this lesson today, we might get something out of it. We just pray that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But Abigail was a very beautiful woman. Look at verse 3 of chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. It says, "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and his name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance." But the man was cherished and evil in his dealings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now, here we see that Abigail was a very, very beautiful woman. I guess I looked, as I was reading this, the only thing I could come in my mind was Esther, you know, Queen Esther. She was a very beautiful woman. And I got to thinking about the beauty of her, and also she had good understanding. Now, by the verse, I believe that Abigail kept herself in very good form for her husband. You know, she may have had her servants, you know, do her hair in a certain way. She may have had a pedicure and a manicure every week. She may have wore just enough makeup to make herself look real good, and she wanted everyone to realize that she was Nabal's wife, and I believe that she kept herself in very, very good form. I believe that the clothes she wore were of good clothes, and another person that I was thinking of when I was doing this was Melania Trump. She is a very eloquent woman. She is. And I think she could put on sackcloth and she would look good in sackcloth. I really do. And as I was doing this, I got to thinking about her a little bit. And, you know, she, I believe that Abigail was much like Melina was in her beauty and the way that she handled herself, and also in her education, things like that. Now, she had a good head on her shoulders. You know, she was a woman of good understanding. She knew what was happening around her at all times. She knew what was right and she knew what was wrong. And, you know, she would do whatever she had to do for her husband. In verse 17, look what the servant asked her. He says, "Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do." Now, the servant knew that she had a good head on her shoulders and that she would make the right decisions for this matter, and knew that she was going to take and handle things without having a lot of loss of life. It is good to have someone who can make good decisions on the fly, so to speak. You know, and this is what she was going to have to do. Here's this servant. He said these servants went back to David. They told David, and I know David's going to come, and David's going to cause war with us, and what can you do about it? And that's basically what was going on. He says, I know that you'll consider the matter, and I know that you'll take and make the right decisions. Now, we need people that can take and do that, whether it's men or women or whoever. When things happen, they need to take and just in a split moment be able to take and make a decision on what needs to be done. Now, she makes preparation. Look at verse 18. It says, "Then Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses." Now, she didn't lose any time with what she was going to do. She knew why David had come. David did not come to fight with Nabal and his servant. David came for food. He needed food for his servants. Now, David had as many as 600 people that were with him. He took 400 men with him to fight Nabal. So there could have been as many as 600 that were traveling with him. And so it took a lot of food for him to do that. But look what she gets ready for him. 200 loaves of bread. I mean, that would be a big bakery. You know, think about that. 200 loaves of bread. I know what it's like when my wife makes homemade bread. You know, it takes a long time to make bread. It doesn't. You just don't snap your fingers and boom, it's made. You know, you have to take and you have to mix the flour and the eggs and all the ingredients together with the yeast, and then you have to let it raise, then you have to beat it down, then you have to let it raise again. Then after it raises again, you have to cut it up, put it in pans, then you have to bake it. Now think about 200 loaves. That's an awful lot of bread. And she couldn't have made it a lot, you know, a long ways in advance, or it would have molded. And so here we see that she had 200 loaves of bread. She took two bottles of wine. Now, they say that the bottles that they were using were anywhere from 10 to 20 gallons each. You know, that's 40 gallons. That's a lot of a lot to drink. Five sheep ready to eat, you know, all killed and dressed out. Five measures of corn. Now, they believe that these five measures of corn were about 200 pounds of corn, 100 clusters of raisins, each weighing 1 to 2 pounds. So she had about 200 pounds of raisins. She had 200 cakes of figs, and each was about, so there was about 200 pounds of figs that she was going to take also. Now, why was it that the corn and the figs were used? Does anybody have any idea? Okay, back in the days of David, they had no refrigeration, did they? Okay, now, what are grapes made out of, or what are raisins made out of? Grapes. Okay, so what they did is they picked the grapes, they dried them down, or dehydrated them, and they made raisins out of them. The figs, what they did is they made them into cakes, and by doing that, compressing them together, then there's no oxygen in there, and they don't mold. And they wrap them in a type of wax paper, and they didn't mold at all. Now, you have to think about this for a minute. This was no little task that Abigail was doing. I mean, there was an awful lot of food here. There was an awful lot of preparation that had to be made for her to get all of this together, and I don't think that all of a sudden she just came up with the idea, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to have it done, bang, and the way we go. I think it took days for her to prepare all of this that was getting ready. You know, this was no little task at all, and this would have been about 1 to 2 weeks of food for David and the people that were with him. And now we need to realize that she didn't go to Walmart to get this stuff. There was no Walmarts. There was no Costco's. There was no Sam's Club. She had to make all of this stuff from scratch. And it took time and everything else. But where did she get all this food from? Anybody have any ideas? Now think about this for a minute. There's a lot of food here. Where did she get the food from? Pardon? Storehouse? They believe that this was all going on in the fall of the year because Nabal had made a big feast, and that's when the feasts were. And they believe that all of the corn and the wheat and everything had just been harvested. So there was a great abundance of corn and wheat and things like that. The raisins had just been, the grapes had been picked and made into raisins. The bottles of wine would have been new wine. That would have been like grape juice. And so what they did is they had abundance of that. They had abundance of figs because they just picked the figs from that year. And what they did is they, like Mrs. Echo said, they put it into a storehouse and they kept it through the winter. And that's what they ate all winter long. And they would go in and they would get whatever they needed as far as wheat, and they would make their bread, and they would make mix it with raisins and things and stuff like that, and it would sweeten it up, and they would have that through the winter months. Now, she wasn't afraid of danger either. Abigail was not afraid of danger. Look at verse 19. It says, "And she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal." Now, if her husband would have found out that she went behind his back with all of this food, given David all this food, what could have happened to her? Yep, he could have either beat her or he could have killed her, because she had done something that he had no knowledge of whatsoever. Now, what we need to realize is back in the days of David and in the Old Testament, women were treated a little bit differently than what they are today. Women back then were not treated as equals. They were treated as the lesser. And we need to realize that she could have very easily been beaten, or she could have very easily been killed. Now, she was not afraid to lose her life to save the lives of her servants and her family. I believe that she would have done almost anything in her power that she could possibly do to take and save the life of those that she loved. And, you know, that's the way people need to be today, is we need to take and realize that we need to not be afraid of what man can do to us, but we need to take and do everything that we can in our power to make sure things go right. But she went; she knew the right thing to do. Look at verse 23. It says, "And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass and fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground." You know, Abigail was no dummy. She knew exactly how to take and go before David. She knew exactly how that she was going to have to humble herself before him. And she knew she had to come before David as a servant, or with a servant's heart. Now, who can tell me what David was going to be? The king. He was going to be the next king of Israel. Saul was now king, and David had already been anointed king so that when Saul died, David would take over the kingship. So I don't believe that Abigail knew that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that Abigail knew that David was going to be the next king at this point. I do, however, know that she knew that if her life was going to be spared, she was going to have to come humbly into the sight of David. Now, she pleaded her case before David in a way not like a lot of women would have done in that day, and she did it with sincerity. Now, remember what we said, that she was beautiful? Okay, now David had an eye for beautiful women. After all, look at him and Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a very beautiful woman, and David had an eye for very beautiful women. And so here we see Abigail came before him, and I don't believe that she came with blue jeans on. You know what I mean? I don't believe that she came in with shorts on. I don't believe that she came in with blue jeans or anything like that. I believe she was dressed to the ten. I really do. Because I believe that she knew that David had an eye for women, and she was very beautiful, and I believe that she came before David as a very beautiful woman. Now, she had very wise motives, and her wisdom shined through. Look at verses 32 and 33. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." Now, if you go back to verses 23 to 31, we aren't going to have time to do that. But if you go and you read that on your own, you're going to see how she brings her case before David and how she uses her influence in her favor. You know, she pleads not only for her own life, but also for those that she loves. You know, she comes to David, and if you go to verse 24, she fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let mine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid." Here she's pleading her case with David. You know, you notice the wording. What does she say? She uses the word what? Handmaid. Okay? She uses the word servant. What she is doing is she is lowering herself as low as she possibly can get. You know, a handmaid was a maid that did all of the meager tasks in the house. She would wash the dishes, she would wash the clothes, she would sweep out the dirt. She was the one who did all of the manual labor there. A servant was one that took care of the crops, took care of the animals, took care of different things. What she's saying is, she says, "I'm just a handmaid to you. You know, I'm just a servant to you. I want you to understand that I'm coming to you humbly, not as Nabal's wife, but as a servant or as a handmaid." You know, it reminds me of how we need to come before God. You know, we need, when we come into the presence of God, we need to come humbly before Him, not commonplace. We need to take and humble ourselves before an almighty God. Now, David could see that she was very sincere and had a very wise intellect, and he places his mercy on her for what she has just done. Now, David could have had her put to death, couldn't he have? He could have had her put to death and just kept all the food and just taken off and went in and wiped Nabal out. That's what he could have done. But he didn't. He had mercy on her because of the humility that she had coming before David the way she did. But you know, another thing I see about Abigail, she stayed by her husband. If you look at verse 36, it says, "And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing less or more until the morning light." Now, she could have asked David if he could she could have went with him. She could have said, "Well, okay, if I found favor in your sight, do you mind if I come with you and your men? I don't want to go back to that no good Nabal. I don't want to go back to him. Even though he's my husband, I don't want to have anything to do with him whatsoever because he's a jerk." You know what I mean? But she didn't. She went back to him. And he was having a big party. Now, notice the kind of man that he was. He held a feast of a king. He was very drunk. And many commentators believe that this was nothing but a drunken orgy. They believe that there was many women there that were dancing and that it was nothing but just drunken festival. Now, Abigail had come home knowing exactly what she was going to find. She knew what was going on at home. She knew that her husband was having this drunken party, and he was probably with other women and everything else. She knew what she was going to find when she got home. She knew that. But she went home anyway to be with her husband. Now, we need to realize that many times, even though things don't go the way we would like to see them go, we need to continue going forward, and we need to take and stay with those that God has put in our life. But you know, she was rewarded for her faithfulness in the end. Look at verses 40 to 42. It says, "And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of her that went after her, and they went after the messenger to David and became his wife." Now, there's some things that happen between verse 36 and 40, and I want to just take a look at this for just a real quick minute. We don't have a lot of time, but if you go back to verse 36, it says, let's go to verse 37. "But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died." Now here we see that Nabal, being the man he was, God says, okay, you're a wicked man. And as soon as Abigail told him what she had done, his heart became like a stone. Heart, just like a stone. 10 days later, he died. God took him out in 10 days. And I really believe the reason God took him out was so that Abigail could become David's wife, and that Abigail could take and be rewarded for the way that she handled herself with David. Now, David had seen the good characteristics in Abigail and how that she handled herself, and he sent and took her to be his own wife, you know, after Nabal had died. You know, what a tribute to a woman, you know, staying close to someone that she knew was an idiot. You know what I mean? But she stayed close to him, and then being rewarded for her faithfulness by God by putting her as one of the king's wives. Because it wasn't long after this that David became king of Israel. And Abigail had a child by David when he was in Hebron. And what we need to realize is that here Abigail, even though she was of the lineage of Caleb, she still became David's wife. And she became in the direct line of Christ, and because she was the wife of David. But what we need to realize, well, actually, she wasn't in the line of Christ, but she was one of David's wives. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that many times we look at situations and we think, wow, you know, there's no way that we can get out of this. There's no way we can continue on. There's no way that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But God has everything in perfect control. You know, I believe that, you know, and I know that God knew exactly what was going to happen here. I know that God knew that Abigail was going to take and do everything that she was to do to save her husband and save her servants and everything. And I really believe that through what she did, God rewarded her for her faithfulness. And we just need to take and be faithful and do what God wants us to, and He will reward us in the end. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this morning. We thank You for this lesson. We thank You for Abigail and what we can learn from her characteristics. Father, I just pray that each and every one of us can live our lives in accordance to the way You would have us to live them. Just help us to do everything that You'd have for us to do. Guide us and direct us now, I pray, in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 10 minutes.